God, that our life would be drawn closer to thee. After all, this is a house of correction. This is where we come to learn more of you and learn the ways of life and obedience to the word. Lord, sanctify our thoughts. Bless all that's done and said. The songs, the exhortation, heal each one. Every one of these requests that I have my hand on that have been read, the names have all been declared. I pray, Lord, that you touch them now. There's faith in the building. We believe there will be results out of each one. God, grant these things, and we'll worship you today, and we'll praise you for the opportunity to come together once more in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated this morning. We've got a thank you card here from Brother Jackie, Sister Jackie, Brother Frank Williams. They want to thank everybody for the cards, the food, flowers, and gifts, and for your love, the entire family. We love that family. Amen. And my wife can tell you, my wife will tell you, I've said this many times, when Sister Jackie's not here, I miss her. And when you're doing this job right here, people like Sister Jackie make it easy on you. 100% participation, and I've always appreciated that, Sister Jackie, and we love you here at our church. So we're glad, sorry for what your family's gone through, and you're in our prayers every day. But we know the master of the wind, right? Amen. Through these trials and these tough times, I'm glad we know the one to call on. Amen. Well, my boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend and he watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, if you know him, raise your hands to him. I know the master of the wind. I know make the sun again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar, sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive from the high. It may bring me low, it'll never bring me down. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of sunshine again. I know the master of, help me sing that chorus. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, sunshine again. I know the master of the wind.
Amen. Anytime, any place. If the brothers would like to come lift the offering this morning, let's sing this together. Anytime, any place, anywhere. That's an E.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, meet you there anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, he's on time. On time, any place, anywhere. I know a man who can feed 5,000. Time, any place, anywhere.
anytime, any place, anywhere.
Through the storm,
meet you there.
Jesus. Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Rain or shine,
rain or shine.
He's on time.
On time,
on time,
any place, anywhere.
Well, I know a man who can save anybody. Time, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can meet your need. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Well, through the storm,
in the storm,
meet you there.
He'll be there.
Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Oh, and he shines. He's on time. On time, any place, anywhere.
Well, I know a man who can save anybody. Time, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can meet your need. Time, any place, anywhere.
Through the storm,
meet you there.
We'll be there.
Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Rain or shine,
he's on time.
He's on time,
on time, any place, anywhere. You thought I was worth saving? You thought I was worth saving? F. We don't have any special songs this morning, so let's just sing and let's be special when we do it. He thought I was worth saving. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That's definitely something to sing about this morning. Let's sing this together. Well, he thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. Help me sing it. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed. Sacrifice your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. I sing that when I think about the Lord. Do you know what key we do that in? When I think about the Lord.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor. About the Lord, how He saved.
these things for you. Save me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout. Amen. I think we have a baby dedication this morning. A baby dedication this morning, I believe. I'm sorry, if you guys just want to be seated for just a minute, we'll get Brother Donnie out here and preaching to us in just a moment. But we have a baby dedication this morning, so if Brother Donnie would like to come on out for that, and if the family can come for that, I'm not sure who it is. And I think we have a song for that, right? That's who it is.
Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus.
Let's bow together, if you would. Heavenly Father, what a great, great gift life is. Lord Jesus, we so thank You today. Dear God, that You are so mindful of us. When man fell, You could have ended it all right there. But Your purpose, Lord Jesus, must carry on. How thankful we are, Lord. Our brother and sister stand here today with this little son. I just imagine their hearts are so overwhelmed since his entrance into their family. Lord, they, by bringing him to You today, they're confessing and asking for Your help to be able to raise him, to be able to instruct him. He didn't come with a manual. He didn't come with a how-to book. But Lord, You've left us Your way, Your word, Your book to teach us how to raise them. I ask You, dear God, that You'd help my sister, being the fifth gospel. May she be able to so influence his life. For my brother, may him hear him talk about You in their home. Pray and play music that is beneficial. May he be raised, I pray, in a way that'll please You, Lord God. We dedicate his little life to You today, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Brother Jewel called me. I wasn't hardly ready. I had to get dressed. Well, not literally dressed, but take my vest off and put the microphone on. And he come back there, and he is in a hurry, and I was nervous, and he is nervous. Sure want to get to preacher nervous, do I? I'm just happy to be in the house of the Lord today. Just stand together, if you would. Is my microphone on upside down or right side up? Or I did good. Okay. It's a great honor to be a Christian today, isn't it? To think of being part of the economy of God, what a wonderful thing it is. Before we read today, We have an engagement announcement. And Brother James Lovall and Sister Allison Ball. The only bad part about it is this boy's got it in his head. He's moving her to Arizona. So I'd say all brothers line up out there on the outside of the door after church and see if we can't convince this young man. We're only teasing Brother James. Amen. We're very happy for him. Let's give him a nice hand. May God's blessing be on him and be with him. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 9. I want to speak to you today on what is thy beloved more than another. You folks profess that you are Christians, that you are believers. And if you would meet a man that would be lost or a woman, you would tell them there's a better way, there's a better life. There's a way that you can live above sin. Other people might do the same thing. They may offer them transcendental medication. They might... Others might meditate on Buddha. They might offer them all kinds of things. So what is your beloved better than marijuana? What is your beloved better than drugs that people would be able to go on the street and buy and help them feel better for a while? What can your beloved offer that others cannot? There's lots of sources of joy, not eternal joy, but joy. There's lots of other sources of temporal happiness. So what's your beloved more than theirs? Praise the Lord. He is more, right? Way, way more. Nobody else compares to him. That's the way we believe him. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved, again they repeat it, the daughters of Jerusalem, more than another beloved, that thou dost charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy, as black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for the reading of your word. We thank you, Father, that we've been allowed to come together once again today. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us, that you'd be mindful of us. Lord, you see the sickness, Lord, there's so many needs, dear God. Just getting off the phone with Brother Kevin Keith before I walked out, Lord, and you see the situation of his mother there. They're seeing some slight improvement, but the doctor says within the next few hours will be critical of her condition. I pray, Father, that you would just help her today. Lord God, you see this brother in New Mexico that I received a text about yesterday. Father, the doctor's operating on him and finding hundreds of tumors in his body. Lord Jesus, we pray for your mercy. Even last night while his daddy was sitting with him, he had an ulcer that bursted in his stomach early this morning, and they had to rush him down for emergency surgery. So everywhere we look, Lord, there's so many needs and so many troubles, but we know that you're mindful of every one of them. Speak to us today by your word. It will increase our faith in the promises of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'm sure that every one of us here today have so many needs, so many desires, so many things that we're asking God about, that we're looking toward for God to be able to help us with, knowing that He alone is the only one that can be able to help with many of the things that we're facing in life. No matter how good our life could be, as far as what we would say and measure it by in a good life, it's no better in reality than a bunch of rats on a dump somewhere. That's the very best that life can offer in comparison to the place that we believe He's going to prepare for us. While we go through this life, we know that there's going to be many, many things that we're going to face. Sickness, affliction, trouble, distress, heartaches. But yet we believe that our God is greater than them all. We do believe that. But we also know as being Christians that He does not protect us from all the negative things of life. Many people get in their mind that being a child of God, God protects you from absolutely everything, but there's no promise in the Word that says such. As a matter of fact, the Scripture tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And yet we know that by the power of God, as we get older, our bodies fall apart, the parts about us change, our memory, we don't have it as good as we did, certain things about us begins to change, certain things about our work, things about our age we're living in, our nation itself, it's going down constantly. So we know that we're going to be exposed to this type of world. Yet, we can focus on that, or we can focus on how great and how wonderful our God is. Now, when I say great and big, I don't mean that God is big in the sense of God having an eyeball about the size of the earth and a nose about the size of Saturn. When I say that God is big, I'm not saying so much that He's big when you go to measure Him with a measuring tape. But I consider Him and look at Him in the way that He represented Himself. When He come to the earth, the Lord Jesus was not a man that was a giant. He was not 20 foot tall and, you know, weighed 1,000 pounds. But He would have been a very small man in stature. So greatness with God is not always how high it is, how wide it is, how long the fingers are. But the greatness is revealed in the way that He reveals Himself by His character and His nature. You understand that? And I think sometimes that we fail to grab a hold of what God is because we look for Him in that way. But God is revealed in very small, minuscule, and small, small details in the way that He reveals His greatness. Now, to us, you know, things that we pass by every day of our lives, things that we don't even think about, things that we don't even pay attention to, yet God has given so much symmetry, so much design, so much thought, so much love, and we walk right by them every day of our life, and they don't hardly mean anything. Thing at all. Why? Because we are looking for some great big something to manifest itself when God actually hides Himself in simplicity. Now, our setting for this has been several weeks about Job being in the trial that he's been, the darkest time of his life, been going on for about 9 or 10 months, something like that, whenever we pick it up in chapter 38. And now Job is coming to the end of this trial. And God is going to answer Job in a way that will give him strength to be able to come out of the trial. Somewhat of a rebuke, somewhat of a humiliation. But God is going to do that by expressing to Job His greatness. There again, it's not that God comes down and His fingers is about 40 feet long and God's nose is 112 feet long one way and 38 feet wide. You know, God doesn't reveal Himself that way. But God come down on a pillar of fire and a whirl of wind. Something that was very, very small, but God begins to expand out of this whirlwind the greatness of His characteristic. And God goes in contrast in the way that He goes to answering Job. Sometimes He'll deal with the heavens, sometimes He'll deal with the earth, sometimes He'll deal with botany life, other times He'll jump back forth to animal life. But God is showing His greatness, but it's greatness by simplicity. God wants Job to see how his everyday life is surrounded by things that are so great. Yet they are so great that Job walks right over them, as you and I do, every day of our life. Things that fall out of the sky that are so small and so insignificant to us. And yet God Himself favors them. The raindrops, the snow, the frost, the things that are so, so small and so great in the eyes of God, they fall all around us. Most of us don't even consider how they even come into existence. Yet God identifies them as being part of His treasury. Now, we would think that a king's treasure would be gold and silver and platinum and all kinds of metal and houses and property. Yet God says that in His treasury is snow and frost and hail. You see what I'm saying? You don't even think that's great, do you? You don't even consider that to be great at all. We consider snow a nuisance. Hail, it could damage my car. It could damage my flowers. It could hurt my house. Frost, I don't like frost. Why? It's cold. But God says, He made them. Shall we take a journey this morning? Job chapter 38, verse 22. Hast thou entered into the treasures of snow? Hast thou entered into the treasures of snow? Now, what's God is speaking in poetic terms. God is not giving Job a science lesson. God is not going to explain to him with the snow, hail, or dew, actually how scientifically that it is formed or created. But God is going to relate it to Job in a more poetic term. Scientifically, it won't even make sense. But this is the way God wants to answer him. Amen. Sometimes we need scientific answers. Sometimes we need simple ones. Sometimes we need to be answered in a poetic way. Apparently, Job needed more of a poetic answer. God could have went into great scientific explanation to answer what Job needed, but apparently that wasn't what he needed. So poetically, God makes it sound as if though that the snow is gathered up somewhere. Now the snow, according to where Job would have lived at this time, snow would have come from the north, because it was nearly impossible for it to come from the south, east, and west, according to the location of where he was. So almost a given fact that it would have came from the north. But God addresses it as if though that there was a treasure house somewhere, we'll say up north, and that God, whenever he needed it, that God would cause the dumping of the snow out of his treasure. Now we know scientifically that God is not speaking in that term, because science, snow is not actually held in a storehouse. But God makes it sound like it is. Now, watch what God is doing. He is actually overwhelming Job by simple things that Job has around him every day. God's reason is this. Job, if you can't even understand frost, if you can't even understand dew and rain and snow, if you cannot feed a lion, if you cannot do many of these things, do you cause the hinds to calve? Do they obey your voice? Does the Leviathan obey you? The crooked serpent, all these. He said, if you can't even do this, then how can you take care of your soul? If you can't even do simple things like causing one small snowflake that falls out of the sky, how can you be able to provide for your innermost being the needs that it has? And may I turn it around to you today and say the very same thing. If we cannot make one snowflake fall from the sky, if we cannot make the dew cause it to fall or cause it to rise or cause the hoarfrost, as it is called in Scripture, to be able to form upon our automobiles and our trees and our houses and so on, if we cannot cause the smallest of things which we walk by every day of our life and don't even really give it a consent, if we cannot do that, I guarantee you we cannot get our soul to heaven without God helping us. We cannot face life and its difficulties without God giving us strength and helping us. Can I have some of your time today? So poetically, God is going to bring this great mystery to Job. Now, notice he addresses as if the snow is actually held in a treasure house, but of course we know it's come actually by moisture as it crystallizes and causes the floating down of the condensation of the moisture, and that it hits a certain temperature of the air. His object is not to teach Job a science lesson. Neither is mine to teach yours today, but to be able to bring a parallel. But I'd like to bring it to you on a little bit more of a scientific level, merged together with a poetic level. But yet God is wanting Job to see, and all of these illustrations, and God goes on and on and on and on with the things that he wants Job to understand. Yet we know that the way he addresses him here, that scientists would take these words and they would look at these words and say, these words are not true. Because science could prove to us there is no treasury of the snow. So they could come also with the hail and say, these words are not true.
They cannot be scientifically proven. Now, if they're going to take God as if though God is giving a scientific explanation, that is true. But God isn't giving a scientific explanation. He's giving a poetic term. Now, you know, God speaks that way, and we must be very careful when we're assigning things, even to preachers or prophets or God or whatever more, because sometimes they're speaking in allegories, they're speaking in poetic ways, they're speaking in far sarcasms and extreme extravagance, and you know, and they'll come and they'll contrast things many times, and people are sitting there and they're like, that ain't true, that ain't true, that ain't true. No, it's not that it's not true, it's just you're not understanding where they're coming from. So now keep this in mind as we look in this morning, that God is making it sound like that somewhere in the Northland there's a great big storehouse. You know, as you go by the roads in Tennessee and different parts of the country, you'll see them on the sides of the interstates. Many times it'll be dome, many times it'll be a half circle, and they'll keep their salt and their gravel and sand and so on in there for the winter months. Now your God is alluding to the very same thing about the snow, and he does the same thing about the hail, as if so it is kept in some storehouse somewhere. Now, of course, science would not have been advanced in the days of Job to where they are now. Maybe this was an allegory by which God is choosing to speak, because this was thought to be the way it was in the days of Job. Now, once we know, of course, let me read this to you. In the descent of the vapor to the earth, it is frozen and descends. In the numerous variety of crystallized forms in which the flakes appear. And let me say to you today that of all the snowflakes that have been documented and studied, there have never been two that have ever been found to be alike. Now, I know it's nice and warm in here and cozy this morning, but how about we look at some snowflakes? I want you to look at some of the handiwork of your God. And just to see how he displays greatness and something that is so simple that most of us don't even care about. We couldn't care less if it snows or don't snow. Most of you probably want good winter, get one good winter snow, 3 or 4 inches, and then praise God, it can go back to July. You don't even care. But yet God is so concerned. Why didn't he make every one of them exactly the same? Show them, brothers. Why didn't God choose to make every snowflake exactly identical? How is it now in the geometrical design that God himself making these great things and giving most of them 6 sides? So it's in the water molecule, set this way, it's as if it were their DNA, that when they fall down in the condensation, depending on how they fall, each one of them falling out of the heaven was 6 sides, another place. And yet they're so different as we are, they change from one to the other, shape and size, some will have spires, some will have sides. Oh. Now, why would he ever make it this way when most of you have never even seen one that looks like this? Have any of you ever got down on your knees with a glass and look, I'm going to run it in the house. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to look at every one. There's 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, and I haven't found one yet. Oh, this is so wonderful. If you do this outside in front of your house, the cops will be there by noon because somebody's going to turn you in. They're going to think there's something wrong with you. And yet look at the symmetry that our God puts here. Look at the great design that is put there. And what do you see? Missing church. Can't go to Walmart. Can't go shopping. Things that we pass every day of our lives that God has such great and symmetry and great work, geometrical design that our Father puts in. For who? Why do you reckon it's there? Glory to God. If he can make the water molecule when they fall from the heavens to where each one of them take on this beautiful symmetry and design just to prove he can do it. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh my, some of you's gonna next snow time come, you're gonna appreciate it a little more, ain't you? Wow, this that you hate, oh, I can't go to school, oh, it snowed. Of course, some of you, if you don't want to school, you're praying for it. You don't really pray for the beauty, you don't look. like this. Hallelujah! Look at the six sides. Why not make them all the same? Who cares? He does. Why not forget about so-and-so? They're low down. They're sorry. Who cares? He does. Who cares about the drunk today? Who cares about the woman that's lived long godly and all the things of the world? He does. Who cares if I'm sick or not? He does. I tell you, friend, the God who designed such a thing. Is this more important? They have fallen like this for thousands of years. In His design from the original creation, whenever He allowed this to come upon the earth, putting it in their DNA as it was, that would allow them to fall. For what reason? Who cares? What difference does it make? If they're six side, four side, if they look like whatever more, who cares? He cares. He cares. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, brothers. He cares. Psalms 37:5, God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He which we cannot comprehend. For He saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of His strength. Psalms 147 and 15. He sendeth forth His commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. Praise God. Amen. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Let me be honest with you and say, I don't know what these snowflakes do. But somehow or another, when they fall from the sky, and maybe they're whirling around dancing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Here I go to the earth, a six-sided snowflake. I'm one among billions. I'm one among billions. But He spoke and I came into existence. I'm falling like wool upon the earth. Them Tennesseans is going to hate me, but I'm going to worship God as I go down. Hallelujah. Here I come, Tennessee. Here I come. I'm responding to the word of God. If God can speak to moisture in the air and cause it to pass through a core layer of temperature and change into that, cannot God change our bodies? Cannot God heal us when we're sick? Cannot God move for us when we are down? Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Praise God. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. You ever heard a cedar tree, praise God? No, you ain't never heard it. But He's doing it. You ever heard a goose praise God? What about a duck? How do you know what that duck's saying in duck language? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Notice God goes on to say, Job 38:22, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail?" Again, a poetic expression. As if so, hail was kept in store somewhere. God has a special deep freeze for hail. Another deep freeze, of course, for snow, set at a different temperature. Poetic. Hail is raindrops that falls down through a layer of freezing air. So it's not like it's kept somewhere, but poetically God relates it to Job in this way. Notice Job, again, 38:23, which I have reserved against the time of trouble. God uses hail to fight with. Praise God. Which I have reserved against the day of battle and war for the punishment and affliction of men. It's a part of his artillery, actually. Well, God needs earth. He don't use 38 specials or 9 MMs. God uses hail. Exodus 9:18, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such has not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even till now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field upon every man and beast which shall be found on the field and shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. So God used hail to fight with. Verse 23, Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven and the Lord sent thunder and hail. And the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail. Very grievous, such as there was none like it in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt. Job, you're so smart. You're such a theologian. You're so deep. You're so profound. Have you ever walked into my treasury of hail where I keep hail for ammo? Joshua 8:29, and the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun went down, Joshua commanded, they take his carcass down from the tree, cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, they were in the going down to Beth Horon. The Lord cast great stones from heaven upon them unto Hezekiah, and they died, and there was much more died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So the next time you're in hail, thank God it's small enough that it ain't killing you. Psalms 18:10, he rode upon a cherub and did fly. He did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness, amen, that was before him, he struck thick clouds past, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave us his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And oh yeah, God still has a lot of them weapons stored up. Revelation chapter 16 verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent, 100 pounds. This is what's fixing to happen in the tribulation period. Thank God there's a way of escape. I said thank God there's a way of escape. Notice now, as God begins to overwhelm his servant, and trying to bring Job to a place of humility, to where Job will reconcile, I don't know hardly anything. I am so ignorant of God. I think I know something, but really, I don't know much at all. I don't know how you feel. The older I am, the older, more, and the more experience I'm supposed to have. And the more I read the Word, and the more I study it, the more I realize I don't know nothing yet. Job 38:24. Hey Job, have you ever seen my treasuries of snow? What about my treasuries of hail? And he says, by what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Now watch how God links the light departing and scattering the wind. What in the world would light have to do with driving wind away? Job's sitting there looking at God the way y'all are sitting there looking at me this morning. Which way is it divide? God, you're the one who made all this. I don't know. Right. My point, Job. You don't know the least of these things. Why would you question my way in your life? And God says, I want this of you, and I want this of you, and I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to take that job and say, God, that ain't fair. Who are you to tell God what he should and should not do with your life? When the sun comes up, Job, and the light begins to peer across the face of the earth, which way does it go? Why is it, Job, that the morning breeze will start blowing as if though the light from the sun itself is what's causing it to come across? Glory to God. Notice in verse 24, by the way the light is parted, which scattereth the east wind. Notice not the north, south, or the west, but the east wind, blowing invisibly as if given direction by the light itself. Verse 25, who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters? Now let me ask you something here this morning, friends. We all love rain when we need it. Isn't it amazing? If I take this bottle of Gatorade this morning and I take the lid off this Gatorade, I turn it up and dump it like this. It will all come out of this outlet here, just one big gush. How is it that millions and millions of gallons of water are able to be released from the clouds above our heads and they don't pour out like a 5-gallon bucket where you just... Do you understand that God creates water courses in the sky? So those drops will not come down in gushes, but in droplets. It's the premier irrigation system. Now think about it. A great cloud passes over all these volumes of gallons and gallons and gallons of water. And when it gets so heavy, it starts falling out of the cloud. Why is it it does not just gush, wash the church off the hill, wash the cars off the hill, wash you off the hill, but instead he made invisible little water courses. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of... Oh, glory to God. Of little water courses, and when they're released from the clouds, they come down the soft, gentle, washing rain. Now be honest with me. Which one of you ever thought of that before in your entire life? Really? We're pitiful, ain't we? You see what happens around us every day of our life. We don't even consider it. Whenever we get a heavy rain right here in Tennessee, us hillbillies call it a gusher. You may have your own term for it. Boy, man, it was raining cats and dogs. It was pouring. I'm telling you, what if every rain was multiplied by 10,000? What if he only made it like a water spigot that he turned it on, and when it come, the lands would constantly be flooded. But instead, he makes the water courses. And they fall right on your head and your umbrella. And you never even raise up and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that rain falls this way. But we're busier making money, of course, I know. We're busier about things that matter in life. We're on Pinterest 24/7. And we're on Facebook. And we're much more busy than to take time to thank God for how rain falls. Well, hallelujah. Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder? Glory to God. The lightning of thunder. Job, are you the one? Do you speak to the clouds and tell them that make a channel one drop at a time, one across the other? No, sir. Are you the one who makes a course for the lightning of thunder? And our scientists, as brilliant as they are, and as much as they know, they still do not to this very day
understand how lightning comes into existence. I can help them if they'll call me. Notice in Job 28:26, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of thunder. God actually, military, made a decree for the rain. You see, every thunderstorm that passes or every shower that we get with the devil, God doesn't have to go back and re-decree the original decree. But God made the decree under the laws by which the earth would operate. The atmospheric pressure and all of that. God made a decree concerning the rain. Every time a storm comes, the same decree sets in cycle of motion. God made a decree about the thunder and about the lightning. Notice Job 38:25. Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of the waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder? Now listen to this. On earth, the lightning frequency is approximately 40 to 50 times a second every day on earth. Or nearly 1.4 billion flashes per year. And the average duration, 0.2 seconds, make up the number of much shorter flashes or strokes of around 30 microseconds. Sounds like a great scientist to work at me. Don't it, you? The huge currents rapidly heat the air to roughly 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit, four times hotter than the surface of the sun. Most of the 4 million lightning flashes that occur on our planet each day originate from inside thunderclouds, often just a few miles above our heads. And yet, despite decades of research, I'm not going to say we, I'm going to say they. They don't understand what is happening inside clouds to start the common lightning bolt. So who made it? Your Father. Under the law of contrast, where we're operating right now, in the millennium, there'll be no lightning. In the Garden of Eden, there was no lightning. There was no need. Lightning, thunder, storms, it's all a sign of God's curse upon the earth. But in the millennium, praise God, she's headed back to her eighth day condition. But as long as we are here, these things will be here. And God has a law. Oh, glory. A law by which they operate. And God makes it sound as if though that the lightning has a pass. Who creates a path? So it doesn't just explode like a M80 in the air. Just, whew, it has a path. So he launches the bolt and makes the path for it to run. Can you do that? Okay, listen, let's make sure everybody's on the same page. How many of you agree with me you cannot make a snowflake? The rest of you whose hands are not up, please see me after church. You cannot make it hail. Hoarfrost. You cannot make the water course for the rain. Thank you. Isn't it amazing? All these things work by the law of God. They've given God no problem since God made them. He can do all of this, but the hardest time God has is dealing with us. Because we get so stubborn and so hard-headed. We want to do this and we want to do it this way and we don't understand this and why this, God, and how come this and why are you doing that? I don't understand that. God has no problems with lightning. Look what lightning can do. Look at the power that's released from this lightning. Look at the power that comes by a thunderstorm. Look at all these things that operate every day of our life by the law of God. The rain's never kicked against God. I said, God, I don't want to fall. I get tired of falling. I want to raise up. God, I don't want to be thunder. I want to be something else. But they just all obey Him. But we humans, the only thing of His creation that ever caused Him problems. And yet He loves us more than all this.
all the billions of snowflakes that will cover the earth from now to the end. And he loves you more than he loves all of them. And yet he calls them his treasures. All the hail, all the hoarfrost, all the beautiful things that God has done. And yet he did not die to redeem the snow. He did not die to redeem the lightning. He died to redeem us hard-headed, stubborn people. Lord Jesus. Notice Job 37:6. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth wind out of his treasuries. Psalms 147:8. Who covereth the heaven with clouds? Who prepareth rain for the earth? Who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains? Think of it, children. You ever thank God for grass? I'm not a cow. You don't have to be. God makes the grass. He makes it to grow. Grass is one of the most resilient plants on the earth. I've stood in the plains of Africa and see the great herds of wildebeest and antelope and different things as they make the mass migration. And see them eat the grass down to where it's right at the top of the ground. Nothing left. But God made grass so resilient that when the rains come, that grass would seem like it's totally gone. The fires will come upon the plains of the Serengeti and burn it down to where it's slick. But beneath that dirt lays the roots of grass. Grass is the largest feeder. The largest feeder of animals on the earth. Thank God for grass. You see what I'm saying? We get our minds so muddled up and we walk on miracles every day. Brother Donnie, you're beginning to sound like a tree hugger. I am. I go to that tree hanging in the middle of Calvary. And I wrap my arms around it. And those precious legs and body that's nailed upon there. That I am a tree hugger. My God made this earth. My God made man and placed him here. I don't know about you. I'm longing to come back on this earth when there is no New York City. There will be no Golden Gate Bridge. There will be no works of man. What will it be? It will be back in its pristine condition again. A garden. Notice Jeremiah 10:13, when he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. Notice the cycle. Now here is David without Jeremiah without scientific understanding giving us the cycle of rain. You know, scientists say there's not one more drop of water or one less drop of water on the earth than there was in the beginning. Because it goes in a constant cycle. Understand that and you'll understand you. Amen. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Again, Job 38:26. To cause it to rain on the earth. Now, just in case you think you're something, man, you're Adam and you know, Job and whoever more you are, if you think you're the only reason I'll send rain, let me straighten you out. To cause it to rain on the earth where no man is. In the Namib Desert, our God don't send a lot of rain. But it don't need a lot. So once every 5 to 7 years, He will cause the rain to pass through. In the Okavango Delta in Africa, the rain starts in the upper highlands of Ethiopia. It will be months and months in transit. But as it starts running down through Africa, it'll wind up in the Okavango Delta. Before that happened and arrived there, the wildebeest from Tanzania, many of the antelope, their lands are drying up by some type of instinct unknown to man. They started heading toward the Okavango Delta, which at this time is a dry, barren sand pit. But by the time they get there, the water from the highlands of Ethiopia will have arrived and created a paradise. Now, what African general was it that went over and got all the elephants? Now, I'll tell you what, elephants were having an elephant meeting this evening around the big tree over there. And go out there and tell all the wildebeest and tell all the kudu and the impala and tell all the Jim's buck and all the rest of them. We're having a big meeting over there. And what we're deciding to do, we're planning on going up there to the Okavango Delta. And we're going to go up there and we're going to eat. And no one tells them. But it's just something in them. They have no GPS. They don't say, Siri, take me to the Okavango Delta. Who cares for them? Your Father. Glory to God. They will stay there for weeks and weeks and months. The water will stop from the highlands. It'll start drying up. It's amazing, as the rivers come down, big old catfish get inside there. Just so happens that thousands of birds are coming from thousands of miles away. And they check their fish clock, and it's about time to head to the Okavango Delta. So their GPS from Best Buy, and that's the way we fill ourselves with all these things from man. They don't depend on none of that nonsense. They depend upon a God-given instinct. I'm not against science. I'm not against mechanization. But I'll tell you, friend, I think we depend too much on it and less upon the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Brother Terry, what is it that gets those birds together? What is it in Arabia? What is it in different parts of the world? And yet they all merge on the Okavango Delta. All kinds of fish, all kinds of minnows are washed all the way down. And they have a feast. God providing a banquet. And we get a little low on money, a little low on food. Oh God, what am I going to do? Oh God, if a God can provide for an ignorant elephant, if God can provide for ignorant wildebeest, can He take care of you and me? To cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man. For whose sake? The animals. Do you understand? God loves animals. God loves trees. God loves flowers. There's certain colors that God prefers. One of God's favorite colors is blue. You say, how do you know that? Look at a picture of the earth from outer space. He didn't make it purple. Look at trees, look at bushes, look at what's one of God's predominant favorite colors in foliage. Green. God loves green. God loves blue. God loves red. God loves amber. God loves topaz. God loves carbuncle. God loves chardonnay. Oh, glory to God. Wow. Who was it? Who was it that put these great things in the earth so man one day would be able to dig them out and find they were there? Your Father. Notice in verse 27, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground. As if God is hearing the desert sands, Brother Terry. As it is howling and saying, God, give me rain. It's been 5 years. And it's amazing because some of them frogs were buried down in the dirt And there the heart rate will so slow down and everything till they're nearly comatose. And lay there for 4 and 5 years until the rain comes. And all of a sudden, here it comes out of the ground. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Or at least that's what we think he's saying. In frog language, he might be saying, glory! How do you know he ain't frog hopping? Yes, sir! Hallelujah! How do you know he ain't praising God? How do you know when you look out there and see a beautiful horse with his head all reared up and his tail all propped up that he ain't running around? Hallelujah! 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 Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. A horse has got breath. It's so dry. The ground is cracked. God hears it. You know, the desert sings, actually. There's some great sands in some of the deserts of the earth that science to this day has not been able to find out the singing, they call it. Because as the wind comes through and blows across the sands, and the deserts begin to sing and make this harmony. Well, they've got an opinion. Well, I figure mine's just as good as theirs is. I just can't keep from wondering if them desert sands ain't worshiping my God. He said, Brother Donnie, I knew you was nuts. Now I know you are. Well, I'm glad you learned something today. To satisfy the desolate and waste ground. Listen now, his concern. To cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. You imagine God and all of his things that he's doing in heaven. And yet God watches the little tender bud. Not as it comes out of a mature plant, but one that's immature and kind of babyish. And verse 28, hath the rain a father? Hath the rain a father, Job? Glory to God. Who hath begotten the drops of dew? Jeremiah 14:22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? They hear God's asking Israel, so you're serving these gods of the heathens. Is there any one of them that can bring rain? Can they cause rain, or can the heavens give showers? Art thou not he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. How can rain come? Only by the agency of God. Let me read it to you. Rain is caused in the following manner. When two portions of air of different temperature and each saturated with moisture are intermixed, the quantity of moisture in the air thus intermixed in consequence of the decrease of temperature will be greater than the air will contain in solution. Everybody with me? You look like it. And will be condensed in a cloud or precipitated to the earth. Now God could have told Job all that, except much better. But instead he said, has the rain got a daddy? Praise God. Praise God. Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? Dew is the moisture condensed from the atmosphere that settles on the earth. Usually falls in a clear and calm nights. And is caused by a reduction of the temperature of that on which it falls. Objects on the surface of the earth become colder than the atmosphere above them. And the consequence is that the moisture that was suspended in the atmosphere near the surface of the earth is condensed in the same way as in a hot day, moisture will form on the outside of a tumbler or a pitcher. It'll happen in your glass after a while when you go to Lone Star to eat. You'll set it there on the table. Your cold drink will set there. The temperature in the room will be much warmer, and the condensation will form on the outside of your glass. You have to keep wiping it up, right? So here's how it happens with the dew. God didn't say that, but he just brought it in a simple poetic form. Rain got a daddy? Who is it that's begotten the dew? Let me close with this. Who is Melchizedek? Just like a dewdrop, if I understand. I don't know too much about chemistry, but it must be in the congealing of the humidity of the atmosphere when the night gets cold and dark. It falls from the heavens and drops upon the ground. It fell from somewhere. But the next morning, before the sun comes up, it's laying there, the little fellow shivering. But let the sun come up and watch it go to shining. It's happy. Why? The sun is going to call it right back to where it come from. And that's the way with the Christian. Hallelujah. We know when we walk into the presence of God, something in us tells us that we come from somewhere. And we're going back again by the power that's pulling us. The little dewdrop, he glistens and shines and shouts. See, I ain't crazy. So the little dewdrops, it sets there and it glistens and it shines. It's shouting. It's having a spell. Why? It's fixing to be drawn back up into that part of the cycle. Look, friends, when saints die among us, what's happening? They're like a little dewdrop. They're glistening on the clothesline of time. And they're happy and they're shaking. Why? They're fixing to be drawn back up where they come from. And a man that's an attribute of God, born of God, knows, hallelujah, when he come in contact with the Son of God, he's going to be drawn up from here someday. For if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all dewdrops unto me. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask you today for forgiveness. Forgiveness, Lord, for walking by the grass in our yard, the trees in the woods, the rain falling out of heaven in little channels. Forgive us, Lord, for being so caught up in the vanities of this life that we see the great hand of God all around us every day, and how few of us stop to thank you for it. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to Job to speak to him these great words, for they weren't spoken quite like this in any other book in the Bible. Lord, you know how we are as humans. We get so busy with life. And so much of our stuff is caught up with man-made stuff. Our iPhone, man-made. Our droid, man-made. Our computers, man-made. Our vehicles, man-made. Our houses, man-made. Our clothes, man-made. So much of what we fill ourselves with are man-made things which will perish. Lord God, may our lives become more enriched, not so much with man-made things, but God-made things. That we can see you around us, the air that we breathe, the stars that we behold at night, the wind as it raises up before the rising of the sun as it sets, the moon as it comes out. All these great things operate by the law of God. The sun as it hangs there has been there for maybe millions of years. He's never disobeyed you one day. He's never said, God, I'm tired today. I'm going to take a day off. I'm going on vacation for a week. I'll be back in orbit after about a week. Our earth would plummet in such cold temperatures. Everything on the earth would die. We would be in such darkness. But Lord, he's been there faithful. The moon, she comes out and holds her spot. Nature works according to the divine laws of God. Rain falling
and the tiny water courses created by you. So to keep us from getting hit in the head and knocked down and our houses washed away and every time a rain would fall from heaven, you made little tiny water courses in the sky. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful snowflakes that fall. Diverse as they are, yet the great hand of God. Thank you for your greatness, Lord. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for getting so consumed with our own selves, thinking we're what it's all about. Help us to die to our pride, our arrogance, our selfishness, Lord, that Christ Jesus can manifest himself in us. Grant it, Lord. How many like to be remembered today? Oh, don't you just appreciate him? Think of it for him. Think of the greatness that's around you every day of your life. The air that you breathe. The elements inside your body. All the components that make you up. Scientists say your brain is the most complex mechanism in the entire universe. The solar system, the planets, all the laws that are known to man, nothing is as complex and wonderful as the human brain. Millions of pictures and sounds and sights and all kinds of things come through your brain every day that you live. You know why you're not aware of it? Because God so designed the brain that the center part of the brain is where all the focus of all these inputs and neurotransmitters run into. And that filters out what you don't need. If not, we would be stark, raving mad every day of our life. You're unconscious to it. But around you, you're picking up things all the time. This information is being processed. But God runs it through the control part of your brain and only renders to you that which is need. Call your mother. You need to go to work. Eat supper. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You only get a few hundred a day when your brain is processing millions every day you live. Millions. Praise God. Don't you love him with all your heart? Let's stand together. Excuse me. Thank God. Thank God for the ability to cough. God made the human body so when you get stuff inside of here, your body would want to cough it up. Praise God. Amen. He's so wonderful, isn't he? Before we pray, I wonder how many of you would like to be remembered in prayer today. You want to attain not so much this scientific knowledge, but you want to be more aware of what he is around you every day. And not be so caught up in man-made. Is that your desire? I'm going to pray for you before we go. We've got the burial this afternoon and we're kind of pressed a little bit for time, but let's just give him a few minutes to move in our hearts here. Lord, you saw hundreds of hands that they were uplifted, dear God, across this audience today. I believe, Lord, it was some sincere people that have heard you speak to them once again by simple thoughts and simple illustrations. But things that they probably for the most part never even thought about or even looked at, never even considered. But you did. You not only did, but you do. So you asked Job, you went on to ask him, are you the one that gives the lion his prey? Are you the one who feeds the beast? Something that happens every day of our life. We don't even consider it to be from God. And Lord Jesus, if you take care of the robin as it falls from the nest. And you see, Lord, and you grieve when you see it die. If you carve out mighty rivers, Lord Jesus, just to give a little fish another place to swim. If you send rain to the wilderness where there is no man there, how much more are you concerned about us? Lord, we know the problem is not you caring for us.
It's us caring for you right. It's us, Lord, getting rid of our selfishness and our attitude sometimes, Lord. I'm sorry I've caused you so much trouble. Forgive me. I'm 61 years old and I've caused you more problems than the sun, which is millions of years old. Neptune, Saturn, Pluto, millions of years old. The earth may be millions of years old. The earth itself has never caused you any problems. It's only been man that lived on it. My life, being 61 years, is short. Nothing but a blink, really. And yet I've caused you more problems than all the universe put together. I'm so sorry. Forgive me, Lord God. I want my life to be of use for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, may your law, as the law of the universe operates the sun and the planets and the stars, may the law of the new birth of regeneration move in our hearts, Lord, that we can be more obedient, humble, God-loving children. Grant it, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Fathers, we prepare to leave you today and, Lord, to go to bury another, Lord, set among us. I pray for his family, friends. May you be with them, Lord. May each of us be prepared for that day, for if the rapture doesn't take us inevitably, we must walk the same way. But when we do, may we face man's greatest fear with a smile on our face and say, Death, you can't hurt me. All you can do is pull me in the presence of God. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back Wednesday night if it be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, praise God. You love him, saints? Hey, just sing us something as we get ready to dismiss. For those of you that's going to be a part of the funeral procession, it'll get to be at the funeral home at 1:15. If you're not going to be there, you can be over at the graveside at Roselawn. They'll be meeting there in the funeral. The burial part will be at 2 o'clock. God bless you. I love you. I hope you got a little something out of the service today. Hopefully. Amen.
From before time began,
oh yes,
you were on your throne. You are God.
Amen.
Alone.
Right now,
in the good times and bad,
you are on your throne.
Lord,
for you are God alone. Hallelujah.
You are God alone.
Amen.
From before time began.
God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. By your plan, that's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. Oh, right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne.